There are many lessons that we can learn from the story of ancient Israel. One of the great lessons from ancient Israel's story in seeing the wrong path that they took is that despite God's care for them in the wilderness and the hope of the promised land, they rebelled, they complained, and they disobeyed. They were witnesses to miracles like no people in the history of this earth had ever seen. The 10 plagues, where they got their freedom from slavery from Egypt. The parting of the Red Sea waters, where Pharaoh, who had probably the mightiest military power of that day and time, his army drowned in the sea. The water and the manna that God provided for them in the desert. And God's presence, God's very presence and glory filling the tabernacle. Just to name a few of the mighty miracles that they witnessed. They also had so much to look forward to with the promises of blessings unmeasured in the land of Canaan. But, unfortunately, they did not have the right faith nor the right attitudes to follow and trust God. And the generation that came out of Egypt were not allowed to go into the promised land. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 95 to begin the sermon today. Psalm chapter 95, and we'll be reading verses 7 through 11. This is a psalm attributed to David, and it's actually a warning by David. Psalm chapter 95, and let's begin reading in verse number 7. Actually, let's pick it up in verse number 6. Verse number 6, Psalm 95. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Then when we come to the last part of verse number 7, it actually starts a new section. Last part of verse number 7. Today, and this is a warning from David, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, verse number 9, they tried me, though they saw my work. Verse number 8 refers to specific events that David is referring to. Notice the phrase, the rebellion. Now, if you're reading in the Old King James, the phrase is, in the provocation, which refers to the incident at Meribah, where they complained against God because they were thirsty. You find that in Numbers chapter 20. Also, this phrase in the last part of verse number 8, the trial. Again, if you're reading in the Old King James, the phrase is, the day of temptation, which that refers to Massa, another name given for the complaining of lacking water. And both of these words, the trial and the rebellion, reflect the general attitude of Israel during those days. In verse number 9, he says, when your fathers tested me, they dared test Almighty God. Your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. Even though they saw those mighty works, they still tested God. Verse number 10. For 40 years, I was grieved with that generation. Whereas the margin points out, the word grieved is disgusted. For 40 years, during that time that they wandered in the wilderness, they still did not repent. They did not have the right attitude, and they were still in a rebellious state. 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. Verse number 11, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And the rest is referring to the promised land, that they would not, that would be their punishment for unbelief and disobedience, those that had came out of Egypt the older generation would not go into the promised land. Remember this section of scripture because we're going to be looking at a similar section of scripture later on in the sermon. But let's now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul provides a summary of Israel's rebellious attitude as a lesson for us. He actually lists in chapter 10, beginning in verse number 1, we're going to read here, several of the incidents that took place out in the desert after they left Egypt. They're not in chronological order, but they are a good summary of what was going on. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. Verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea." So we get the time frame here of what the Apostle Paul is referring to. He's talking about the children of Israel who came out of Egypt. Verse number 2, "All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Then when we come to verse number 5, we have this list that the Apostle Paul gives us, examples that we are to learn from of some of the incidents that took place with the children of Israel. Verse number 5, "But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. That actually refers to Numbers chapter 14, verse 29. We're eventually going to get there. God's judgment for those that were 20 years of age and older, that they would die in the wilderness because of their disobedience. Verse number 6. "Now these things became our examples, lessons for us to learn, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." This is referring to Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 4, where the mixed multitude that came out with the children of Israel complained about the manna that God had provided for them. And they were desiring fish and meat, like they had in Egypt, they said. Verse number 7, another incident, "And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." That's referring to verse number 7, the golden calf incident, Exodus chapter 32, where Moses tarried on Mount Sinai and they molded the golden calf and began to worship. Verse number 8, the next incident, and again, these are not in chronological order, "Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell." Verse number 8 is referring to at the end of the 40-year period of their desert wandering, Numbers chapter 25, many of the men committed harlotry with women from Moab. Again, another incident. In the Apostle Paul's laying out several of them here. Verse number 9, "Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents." This here where it says destroyed by serpents in verse number 9, many of them died. This is referring to Numbers chapter 21, while going around the nation of Edom in the wilderness, they complained about the manna and not having food and water. Kind of a continual saga with the children of Israel, the complaining about what had been provided for them. Verse number 10, "Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents." This last part of verse number 10 where it says they were destroyed by serpents, referring to Numbers 14, verse 37, where the men who brought the bad report of the land of Canaan were destroyed by a plague. Then we come to verse number 11. "Now all these things that the Apostle Paul has listed here, these examples of their rebellion and their attitude in the wilderness. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, to learn lessons, not to be disobedient, and not to have the same attitude as the children of Israel had. Now let me bring something to your attention here that is of utmost importance that I'd like to zero in on here. Israel was at Mount Sinai about a year's time receiving God's instruction. And we have a great amount of information all the way from Exodus chapter 19, where they first come to Mount Sinai, all the way through the book of Leviticus, the rest of Exodus, through the book of Leviticus, and to Numbers chapter 10. We have a great deal of information about that year's time and the instructions that they received. The Ten Commandments, instructions about building the tabernacle, the actual building of the tabernacle, instructions concerning the sacrifices and the holy days, and in Numbers, the preparations to leave Sinai. In other words, more than half of the book of Exodus, all of the book of Leviticus, and almost a third of the book of Numbers is discussing that one year while they were at Mount Sinai. And yet, we have very little information about the 40 years of their wandering in the wilderness. We have bits and pieces, and we have a few chapters in the book of Numbers. Very little information. We know that Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of disobedience and unbelief. And incredibly, we know very little from that period of time. The title of today's sermon is A Veil of Silence. A Veil of Silence. Today, as a lesson for us to learn, we will see that God cast a veil of silence over the 40 years of Israel's wandering. And the reason why is because of disobedience and unbelief. The sermon today ties in with the Bible study we'll be having later on today, covering the blessings and cursings chapter, especially the first part of Leviticus chapter 26. God warned Israel while they were still at Mount Sinai, before they left Mount Sinai, that for obedience they would reap blessings, but for disobedience they would reap cursing. Now we've been going through this Bible study series on Exodus and Leviticus here for a good while now, and there's questions that come up along the way. A couple of the questions that have been asked about the journey towards the promised land is, did Israel offer sacrifices in the wilderness? That's one of the questions that has come up. And another question is, did they keep the holy days in the wilderness? And the answer is, we don't know completely because of the veil of silence concerning that period that stems from their disobedience. And that is a lesson in itself. There are some hints and brief references that lead us to believe that they did not sacrifice during this period. But again, the bottom line is that we just really don't know, and it stems to their disobedience. Now, the reason that we don't know relates to what happened shortly after they left Mount Sinai on their way to the land of Canaan. So let's take a look now in the book of Numbers. We'll get a little advanced look here before we get into the Bible study series. Numbers chapter 10. We'll go through this section of scripture here. Numbers chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse number 11. This was after the children of Israel were organized. They were ready to make their march to go to the land of Canaan, all ready to go, and they were only about 2 weeks, 2 weeks from reaching the promised land, the land of Canaan. Now that tells you something. They're only 2 weeks away. Numbers chapter 10 and verse number 11. Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. Verse 12. And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journeys. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So here's where they actually begin to make their move away from Mount Sinai after having been there for about a year's time. Now let's go to chapter 13. Along the way, in this march, they've gone along about 11 days approximately, and they make three stops along the way as they're going to the land of Canaan. Chapter 12 and verse number 16, I'm sorry. Chapter 12 and verse 16, we come to the third stop along the way. Chapter 12, verse 16, and afterward the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. And that's a place that's known as Kadesh. And this is where they are going to camp, and this is where they're going to send out the spies or the scouts to check out the land of Canaan. So now we come to chapter 13, verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men out to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send out a man, everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent them, verse 3, from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of the men who were heads of the children of Israel. And then verses 4 through 15 gives the names of the individual leaders from each tribe that went to scout out the land of Canaan, the promised land. Unfortunately, these men that went to make this scouting out of the land, most of them did not give a good report. Let's drop down now to verse number 25. And they returned from spying out the land, scouting out the land, after 40 days. Now, 40 days, back in those days, a day's journey was 12 to 15 miles. So multiplying 40 days by 12 to 15 miles, you come up with around 500 miles that these men had journeyed scouting out the promised land. Verse number 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, where they were camped. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And so they began to show some of the fruit and how rich that the land is. Verse number 28, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. What a pitiful report to give a negative report to the children of Israel, when these men had witnessed the many, many miracles that God had done. Saw what had happened to Pharaoh and his mighty army. And they're talking about fortified cities and these mighty men as if God can't take care of it for them. That's what they're insinuating. It goes on to talk about the Amalekites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites in verse number 29. Verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb and Joshua are the only ones that were encouraging the people. Yes, let's go up into the land. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Here's where that unbelief and lack of faith in God's mighty power came into play in their attitudes. Verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land which we have gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. Well, if we go in there, we're just all going to be devoured and not heard from again. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33, there we saw the giants. They're exaggerating here now on this description. The giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Again, bad report, negative report, and exaggerating to the point that no faith in God's power. Verse 14, so the congregation, they'd heard this report. Chapter 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. crying all night long because of this report. Again, now the people, instead of rallying around and saying, no, God will take care of us. We have faith. Nope. They succumbed to weeping and crying. Verse 2, and the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in this wilderness. And those were words of fate that they spoke. Because they would, it was prophetic. They would be dying in the wilderness. Verse number 3, it gets worse. Why has the Lord, they're not just pointing the finger at Moses and Aaron now, they actually blame God. Verse 3, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? What a pitiful question is that, where they had been slaves, some of them for all their lives, under the taskmaster's whip. And they actually had thoughts of returning back to Egypt. Verse 4, so they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. To the point of they were ready to go back to that land of slavery. Now let's drop down to verse number 26. Here we have God's response to their unfaithfulness. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me, God said. Verse 28, here's his judgment. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. You said it would have been better to die in the wilderness. It's going to happen. Verse 29, the carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness, and all of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. In other words, those that were of 20 years of age and older were the ones that were going to die in the wilderness. Except for, he goes on, except for Caleb and Joshua, because they had given a good report, were encouraging, they would not die in the wilderness. Verse 32, but as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds, wanderers in the wilderness, 40 years, God says, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. And verse 34 is a key verse. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. And that's a prophetic principle, each day for a year. Just as they went 40 days to scout out the land, 40 years they're going to wander in the wilderness. Verse 35, I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. I'd like to read a quote from a book, The Pentateuch, by W.H. Griffith Thomas, which is a good summary statement of Israel's wandering, the years of wandering, which were totally outside of God's will. It wasn't God's will for them to die in the wilderness. He wanted them to go into the promised land. And it was within their grasp. 2 weeks' time and they'd have been in there. And yet, because of disobedience, they'd have to wander. He says this, chapters 15 through 25 in Numbers give all the knowledge we possess of this long period. God cast a veil of silence over these years while the old generation was dying out and the new one was being trained. The bottom line is, had they been obedient, had faith, trusted in God, they would have been in the promised land within a couple of weeks. They would have been able to begin to reap the blessings God promised and put into practice all the instructions given to them in Leviticus at the foot of Mount Sinai. Instead, those over 20 years of age and older eventually died in the wilderness. So we don't have a whole lot of information about those 40 years. But we do have some information. Let's go to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 5. As Griffith Thomas pointed out, in Numbers 15 through 25 is only the little bit that we have during that time. And a lot of that was instructions from God, not actual events that took place. Well, let's go to the book of Amos, Amos chapter 5. If you remember, Amos was a prophet to the northern tribe of Israel. And he prophesied to them they were falling into idolatry, and he was preaching to them to come out of their idolatry. In this section of scripture that we're going to read here in Amos chapter 5, verses 25 through 26, Amos compares the idolatry of his day and time with the idolatry of the children of Israel. Amos chapter 5, verse 25. Let me take a drink of water here real quick. Amos chapter 5, verse 25. Here's a question. Did you offer me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? You also carried Sikuth, your king, and Chiun, your idols, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves. Now let's take a look at verse 25 a little closer. Notice God says in this question, did you offer me sacrifices? And the offer me is emphatic. And the answer is, no, they did not offer sacrifices, because they were offering sacrifices to other gods, idolatry. Notice verse 26. You also carried Sikuth, your king. Now, if you've got a marginal reference, the reference here of Sikuth here is a tabernacle of Moloch. This was actually a portable shrine like the Egyptians used that the children of Israel were carrying around with them in the desert. Now, Jameson Fawcett Brown adds that it was small enough, probably not to be detected by Moses. And Jameson Fawcett Brown adds that idolatry was hidden, clandestine, in Moses' time. And yet they were carrying this around with them in the desert. Your king here, the reference to your king, the king was a title of the Egyptian god Osiris. And the calf was his symbol, which we know that the children of Israel had a great deal of trouble with getting rid of the calf idea, the idolatry along the way. Also mentioned here is Chiun, your idols. Again, if you have a marginal reference, Chiun is a pagan deity. And the Egyptian equivalent of this god was Remphan, who was equated with sun and star worship. That's another one they were carrying along with them in the desert. The star of your gods, which you made for yourselves. That's what the children of Israel were doing, the idolatry, while they were going along in the desert. And Hosea, Amos, the ones that prophesied, that preached to the northern tribe of Israel, were talked so much about the idolatry of Israel in their day and time in 800 BC. The divided heart. That they were giving lip service to God. Yes, we're worshiping God, but they were also worshiping idols. And that's what the children of Israel were doing in the desert. Charles Feinberg adds this in his commentary. He says this. Thus Amos is charging Israel with observing the ritual of the Mosaic law, at the same time they followed idols, just as the contemporaries of the prophet in the northern kingdom were doing. And God warned the children of Israel before they left Mount Sinai, don't get involved in these things. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 26. This is where the tie-in comes to the beginning of the Bible study today. They're still on Mount Sinai. We're to the very end of the book of Leviticus, the instruction that God was giving to them. Just before we come to the book of Numbers, where they begin to get organized into their camps to leave. These are some of the final instructions before they would leave Mount Sinai and go into the land of Canaan. Some of the final instructions. Leviticus 26, verse number 1. You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image. Now this reflects back to the commandment of not worshiping idols, but God even expands it even more. We'll talk about this in the Bible study. Neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves. Remember, Amos said, the gods that you have made, and God warned them, don't do this. Nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. Verse number 2, before we even get into the blessings part, another warning. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And right here, this warning at the beginning of the blessings and cursing chapter, these are the two test commandments that Israel failed upon. Idol worship and Sabbath breaking. And you know what? It's been that way throughout, it's a little bit too much hand motioning here. It's been that way throughout history with mankind. These two test commandments. But Israel failed miserably to guard against idolatry and Sabbath breaking, two of their biggest sins. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel now and take a look at another section of scripture which gives us some bits and pieces of that particular time of the 40 years. Ezekiel chapter 20. This is where the elders approach Ezekiel and they want God's information for God to speak to them. And God begins to tell them about their forefathers and how they had sinned in the land of Egypt. Ezekiel chapter 20, and let's pick it up in verse number 10. Again, God is talking about the abominations of their forefathers. Verse number 10, Ezekiel 20. Therefore I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And that's what we've been going through in the Bible study series, where they came out of Egypt and were in the wilderness. Book of Exodus, verse number 11. And I gave them my statutes, showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. We've talked about that here in the Bible study series as well. Verse number 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between them and me. Talked about that here in the last Bible study in chapter 23 of Leviticus. That they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Verse 13. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. We've already talked about the fact that in the spies that went into the land brought back bad report. But here's even more information here. As we continue on in verse 13, they did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them, quoting Leviticus 18:5. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. And you know, we don't even have all the information of how much and what they actually did in defiling the Sabbaths. But there must have been a lot going on. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. Verse 14, but I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles in whose sight I had brought them up. In other words, he didn't completely destroy them, all the children of Israel. Verse 15, so I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. And here's the reason why. Those that were 20 years of age and older would not go into the land of milk and honey. Verse 16. Because they despised my judgments, did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. The very thing that God warned them about while they're still on Sinai, Leviticus 26 verses 1 and 2, they defiled greatly those two test commandments. Nevertheless, verse 17, my eye spared them from destruction. I did not make a total end of them in the wilderness, because those that were children, below 20 years of age, would go into the promised land. But they got warnings as well. Verse 18, "But I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols," which we read about in Amos chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. So much that went on during those times that we don't even know about. But it was a time of disobedience, and a lesson for all of us. The lesson of Israel not entering the promised land because of unbelief and disobedience is a warning for us today. Now let's go to the New Testament. We'll go to the last section of scripture here. In Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. The author of Hebrews here, in the section that we're going to begin, quotes from Psalm 95 where we began the sermon today. Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse number 7. Previously in verse number 6, the author here was talking about Jesus Christ, that we should hold our fast in confidence in Him. Then we pick it up here in verse number 7, Hebrews 3, verse 7. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says," now we're going to read a quote from Psalm 95, where we were earlier in the sermon. That was David saying that. Here, the Holy Spirit is teaching. Verse 7, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and saw my works 40 years. Verse 10, "Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways." And the result in verse number 11, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." And again, rest referring to the promised land, the punishment for their unbelief and their disobedience. The warning then, as we continue on here in verse number 12, for all of us, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Verse 13, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today," while you have the opportunity, in other words, "lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The warning is clear. It's a lesson for all of us. As the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, these are lessons for us to learn. Don't follow their ways and their example. Verse number 14, "For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." You can put a lot of companion scriptures, endure to the end, patient endurance, etc. Verse 15, "While it is said," and this quotes Psalm 95 again, "today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Then we come to verse number 16 in a question. "For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses?" All that the children of Israel had heard, the Ten Commandments, the statutes and the judgments, all of the things that we've talked about in the book of Leviticus, that they were instructed on, they did not believe, and they rebelled. Verse 17, "With whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness?" Verse 18, "And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey?" Verse 19, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." They did not enter their rest, the promised land. Then when we come to chapter 4, the author here talks about rest that all of us have. Talking about the rest, the promises of the kingdom of God. When man's world, the mistakes and all the problems that we've had, warfare, violence, all the things that are so terrible that mankind's had to endure all these years. When Jesus Christ comes to this earth, there is going to be rest and there's going to be peace. And finally, prosperity and happiness. A true rest. And that awaits each and every one of us. Well, we've got to endure and keep on and not go back like the children of Israel. Let's go down to now as we begin to wind down. Let's go to verse number 9. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. It's interesting here. This word rest, our English word rest in verse number 9, comes from the Greek word sabbatismos. Sabbatismos, which means keeping the Sabbath. Sabbath observance. Which, as we've already read, Israel violated constantly. They defiled God's Sabbaths. The rest that we enter today is on the Sabbath, when we rest from our weekly activities. But it's also a type of the future rest to be experienced in God's kingdom. The admonition then, let's go down to verse number 11. Let us therefore be diligent, each and every one of us, to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. The Israelites falling in the wilderness serves as a great example and lesson to us. It's so very unfortunate that we don't know much of what happened to them during those 40 years that they were in the wilderness. A veil of silence remains from that period. But that is and was the overall result of the punishment inflicted upon them for their disobedience, their unbelief, and a great lesson for each and every one of us. God promises blessings for obedience. And the great lesson we learn from Israel's story is the better road for us as disciples to follow is to trust in, to have faith in, and to follow our great God.